He's actually learning to translate and basically provide to the whole world the ancient teachings written by great saints over the years, and he's presenting them for everyone in accessible languages. So he speaks many languages: English, of course, Hindi, Gujarati, and he's also very fluent in Sanskrit. So he's actually a very, very learned devotee. And today he'll be sharing with us some thoughts on one of the major themes of the Bhagavad Gita. And this for the next 5 weeks until the end of this year, we're going to be discussing the Bhagavad Gita, because the Bhagavad Gita is actually the most important book that we have in our tradition. And we'd also like to draw your attention to this leaflet, which you'll find outside. On the 21st of December, that's about 4 weeks from now, we'll be having a very special ceremony on the Sunday morning where we'll be reciting the entire Bhagavad Gita. How many people here know how many verses are contained in the Bhagavad Gita? Does anyone know? 18 chapters. But does anyone know how many verses? 700 verses. Very good. There's 700 verses in the Gita, and what we'll be doing on Sunday the 21st of December is we'll be reciting every single one of those verses, and we'll complete the whole Bhagavad Gita in half a day. So if you've never read the Bhagavad Gita in your whole life, here's your chance to do it all in one morning. So everyone is most welcome to come along. And what we're also asking is, because this month of December coming is the actual month where Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, so what we're trying to do in this month is send out the Bhagavad Gita to as many schools, colleges, hospitals, universities, as many places as possible, so that as many people as possible can have access to this wonderful knowledge. So if anyone is inspired, then we're requesting people to come forward to sponsor Bhagavad Gita, however many they are able to do so, so that we can place the sacred literature in these places. So, without further ado, I'll hand over to our speaker for today. Before he starts, we'd just like to welcome him by very loudly chanting and raising our hands, and then very loudly chanting Hare Krishna 3 times. Can we do that? And then raise their hands and 3 times. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna!
Jaya Kunja Vihari. सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भगवद गीता की युग धर्म श्री हरिनाम संकीर्तन की समवेत भक्त वृंद की हृदय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल हरि हरि बोल हरि हरि बोल ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यम् ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरोन्वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतम् परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्ण पादान् सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधाकांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिंधुभ्यैवच पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्ण At the very onset of present day's discourse, I would like to initially offer my most respectfully prostrated obeisances and to the lotus feet of their transcendental lordships, Sri Sri Radha and Gokulanand, along with their perpetual transcendental entourage consisting of Srila, Sri Lalita Devi, Sri Vishakha Devi, Sri Luprati Manjari, etc. And along with them, I would also like to offer my most respectfully prostrated submissive homages
and to the lotus feet of their divine lordships, Shri Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Shri Shri Nityananda Prabhu, along with their transcendental associates and companions, such as Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Sanatana Goswami, and all the six Goswamis of Shri Dham Vrindavan. Finally, I would also like to pay my obeisances and due honorary respects unto the lotus feet of His Divine Grace, Abhaya Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who has very artistically propagated the doctrine of Krishna consciousness throughout this world in this present modern era in the most unique and fantastic unprecedented way. Conclusively, I would also like to pay my obeisances and due respects unto the lotus feet of the initiating spiritual master, as well as all the preceptoral spiritual masters, along with all the senior Vaishnava devotees of the Lord present herein. And thereafter, now let us deliberate on the context of the supremacy of devotional service, which is displayed in five types of relationships with the Lord. So, as it has been explained in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, text number 54, Brahma Bhutaha Prasannatma Na Shochati Na Kaankshati Samaha Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Blessed Lord Shri Krishna, imparted His instructions to Arjuna at the time of winding up His transcendental sermons to His disciple Arjuna. These are the last instructions that Shri Krishna is giving to Shri Arjuna by saying that, O Arjuna, when a person reaches or obtains the transcendental stage or condition of being Brahma Bhuta. Brahma Bhuta means when he becomes self-realized or when he attains that transcendental position of the Brahman platform. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. And that transcendental position has also been sometimes considered in Srimad Bhagavad Gita as being the Sthita Pragya condition. In the second chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Lord Shri Krishna describes the same Brahma Bhuta platform that he is denoting in the 18th chapter as being the Sthita Pragya condition. Sthita Pragya condition means that the living entity who has become self-realized, his pragya, his intelligence, becomes firmly stable. Firmly stable in the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead. That is known as Sthita Pragya condition, as opposed and as contradictory and as reverse to the position of intelligence being divided into many different offshoots. Lord Shri Krishna describes that those who are sakamakarmis, those who are fruitive-minded actors, those who are performing activities which are only aimed at seeking rewards in return, and those rewards which in turn manifest themselves in the form of material sensual gratification. So, their intelligence is not only bewildered, but their intelligence is unstable due to its being having been divided into thousands and thousands of sub-branches. Therefore, Krishna says in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita that avyavasayatmika buddhihi ekeha karunandana buddhayo avyavasayina, that the intelligence of those who are fruitive-minded, who are always performing sakama karma, their intelligence is bewildered because it is divided into thousands of offshoots, and their intelligence is therefore unstable. But that person who is rather sthita pragya, whose intelligence is stable and undivided, only has firm faith in the path of devotional service. Therefore, Krishna again says at the end of the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Mam chayo avyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunam samatityaitan brahma bhoyaya kalpate, that person who worships me through the path of unflinching devotional service, which is completely exclusive, one-pointed, stable and steadfast in its performance. When that person performs that that sort of unflinching devotional service, avyabhicharani bhakti, then gradually he obtains the platform that is transcendental to the three modes of material nature, sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate, and he becomes eligible to obtain the stage of the Brahman realization, brahma bhuyaya kalpate. So again, this brahma bhuyaya, the word brahma bhuyaya, which has been used, which has been utilized by the Lord at the end of the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, refers to the same sthita pragya condition of bhakti yogi, which is mentioned at the end of the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and that also refers to the same word that Krishna has imparted in this present verse, which is the 54th verse of the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhutaha. This Brahma Bhuta word used by Krishna here in the 18th chapter refers to the same Brahma Bhuyaya and to the same sthita pragya condition mentioned in the 2nd and in the 14th chapters of Bhagavad Gita. And this Brahma Bhuta word also refers to the statement of Lord Shri Krishna spoken in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is known as King of All Knowledge, the King of All Confidential Knowledge, Raja Vidya Raja Bhuyam Pavitramidam Uttamam. Lord Krishna has described the King of All Knowledge unto his dear disciple and friend Arjun. So at that time in the 9th chapter, Lord Shri Krishna says that Mama Sadharmyam Agataha, when the living entity comes to know of this King of Knowledge, when he becomes quite cognizant of this King of Knowledge, and this King of Knowledge is none other than the science of devotional service. He clarifies, Krishna clarifies, that this Rajavidya and this Rajguhyam that I am talking about is none other than the science of the performance of devotional service, Bhakti Yoga Vidyan. So Krishna says in the 9th chapter that when one becomes completely cognizant and well versed in the matter of the discharge of devotional service, then that person becomes, after becoming self-realized, after becoming transcendental to the three modes of material nature, sattva, raja and tam, he comes to the same level as mine. Mama sadharmya madhata. The word sadharmya has been used by Shri Krishna. Sadharmya means that that living entity comes to the same transcendental position, almost same transcendental position that I am possessing. Living entity can never come to the exactly the same transcendental position as the Lord. Because if that would happen, then the injunction of the Vedas, the injunction, there is an injunction found in the Vedas which states that ekam advitiyam brahma na dvitiyosti kashchit, that the supreme absolute truth, param brahma, is only one and no and not two, not dual. Ekam advitiyam brahma na dvitiyosti kashchit. Therefore, it can never happen that the living entities will be excelling the Lord or will be equaling the Lord by having exactly the same position. That can never happen. Therefore, when Krishna says "Mama sadharmyam agataha," it means that the living entities have this eligibility of acquiring almost similar position to the Lord. So almost similar position means that just as the Lord is transcendental to the three modes of material nature, the Lord doesn't become controlled by the three modes of material nature. In the same way, that liberated, that self-realized, that Brahmabhuta living entity who has acquired the transcendental Brahman platform, that living entity also becomes transcendental to the three modes of material nature. Therefore, it is declared in the Shvetashvata Upanishad that Nityo Nityanam Chetras Chetananam Ego Bahunam Yogidhati Kamam. That the living entities are innumerable. And all those innumerable living entities or conditioned living entities or souls, jivatmas, they are Nitya means eternal. All the living entities are eternal. That means they have no beginning and no end. Their existence is completely perpetual. And at the same time, those living entities are full of consciousness, full of knowledge. So, Nitya and Chetan, Jivatma or living entity or spirit soul is Nitya and Chetan, is completely full of consciousness and is eternal. His existence is eternal, perpetual. So, therefore, it is declared in the Shvetashvata Upanishad, Nityo Nityanam Chetras Chetananam Ego Bahunam Yo Vidadhati Kaman. That all the living entities, generally speaking, are eternal and full of consciousness, but among them, there is one chief living entity, there is one chief living object, there is one chief living being, And that chief living being, who is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna, that chief living entity is the topmost among all the conscious and among all the other eternal living beings found in this world. Therefore, we can understand from this statement of the Shatashvata Upanishad found in the Vedas that all the living entities, they have this eligibility that after the discharge, that after the performance, that after the execution and the accomplishment of the devotional service, they can come to almost same level as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they can never come to the exact same level. If that were to happen, then this shloka, this mantra, this verse of Shatashvata Upanishad would turn completely false and would turn into a complete lie. Shatashvata Upanishad says that among all the living entities, no matter how exalted they are, among all the different types of manifold living entities found in this verse, in this world, only one living entity, and that is that Supreme Brahman Shri Krishna, is the chief and is the most exalted being par excellent. Therefore, mama sadharmya magataha means, when Krishna says that the living entities acquire, that means that the living entities acquire almost same nature to the Lord, but not exactly the same nature. But now that Brahma Bhuta stage, which is so which is so much highly situated and transcendental to this material world, that Brahma Bhuta stage is characterized by what symptoms? So Krishna describes in this 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta prasannatma na shochati na kamsham. That aforementioned Brahma Bhuta stage, which Krishna talks about in many different chapters of Bhagavad Gita, in 9th chapter as Manasadarmya Magataha, in 2nd chapter as Thita Pratya, in 14th chapter as Saguran Samatitya Itan Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate, that same Brahma Bhuta situation is again being deliberated upon by Shri Krishna in this present context. So Shri Krishna says that that Brahma Bhuta condition has many different symptoms. When a living entity acquires that transcendental platform of Brahman, at that time he becomes, his inner consciousness becomes completely devoid of all sorts of mundane, melancholy, sadness and remorseful conditions. Prasannatma. And therefore the living entity who has acquired such Brahman platform always remains happy, always rejoices within. He might not appear to be very much jubilant, externally speaking, but inward, within his heart, within his mind, inward, within his consciousness, he always remains rejoiceful and always remains blissful and happy, having acquired that transcendental position of Brahman. Brahma Bhuta prasannatma na shochati na kamshati. And the reason why that living entity remains always rejoiceful is because he never laments after any object of this material world, any object that he used to possess, but that now has been destroyed, or that which has now been taken away from his possession due to various reasons, he never hankers, he never laments after that object which he used to possess, but which now he doesn't possess. Na shochati, na kamshati. And he never hankers or desires after any object which is completely new to him, which he used to never possess, and he never wants to possess any material object in future also. So, for any unacquired object, he doesn't express any desire of its acquirement. And for any object which he used to possess, but which he is now possessing, he doesn't lament for that. Na shochati, na kangshati. Why? Because samam sarveshu bhuteshu, because that yogi, because that bhakti yogi, that living entity who has acquired this transcendental position, he has become his equal, his vision has become completely equal in all living entities. He sees all living entities, all jivatmas of this world with an equal vision, samaha sarveshu bhuteshu. And that same thing has been again highlighted in the 5th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna says, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavihastini Shuni Chaitvashvataake Cha Panditaha Samadarshinaha. That person is truly considered Pandita, or truly considered a scholar, or a person having factual knowledge, who sees with an equal vision an elephant, a monk, sannyasi, a brahmana, a dog eater, and a cow. That means all different types of living entities, whether they are found on the platform of mode of ignorance, passion, goodness, or transcendental platform. That pandita, that person who has become factually knowledgeful, he sees all of them with an equal vision. Why? Because he thinks that in all the living entities, my transcendental Lord, Shri Krishna, is situated as his localized portion in the form of super soul, Paramatma, as Kshiralakshaya Vishnu. So because the living, because that liberated person, Brahma Bhuta, a living entity who has acquired the Brahma Bhuta platform, he sees all the other living entities of this material world as the resting place. He sees the hearts of all the other Jivatmas as resting place and as abode of the super soul Kshiralakshaya Vishnu. Therefore, he sees all of them with an equal vision. Samaha Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhakti Ravate Param. And after that, he has attained such Brahma Bhuta platform, then he becomes eligible to attain the Prema Bhakti, which is the most exalted form of Bhakti. Mad Bhakti Ravate Param. That Prema Bhakti, which is pertaining to me, Krishna says, Mad Bhakti Ravate Param. That living entity who has become thus liberated, then he becomes eligible to attain that Prema Bhakti. So, here our acharyas have commented that if that living entity who has attained the Brahmabhuta platform, if he doesn't come into the association of Shuddha Mahabhagavatas, of pure devotees of the Lord, then he will not get a chance to come to the platform of obtaining Prema Bhakti. If he comes into the contact and association of the Mahabhagavatas, of pure devotees of the Lord, then he can immediately acquire the stage of Prema Bhakti without the need of the performance of Sadhan Bhakti. But if he doesn't come into the contact with the pure devotees of the Lord, then he cannot obtain the Para Bhakti or the Prema Bhakti or the Krishna Prem, the transcendental unalloyed love for the lotus feet of the Lord. So, in the very next verse, this is the 54th verse of the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. In the very next verse, the succeeding verse, that means the 55th shloka of the same 18th chapter, Shri Krishna again says that Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavam yashchasmi tattvatah tato mam tattvatah kyatva vishate tadanantaram. That only through the path of pure devotion, bhaktya, can a person actually come to understand the real significance of my glories. Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yashchasmi tattvatah. Tattvatah means a person can factually. Tattvatah means factually. Abhijanati means come to understand. A person can only factually come to understand the significance of my transcendental glories, the greatness and the significance of my transcendental glories, only through the path of devotional service. Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yashchasmi tattvatah. And after thus being quite well acquainted with my true nature, that devotee who has become perfect on the path of devotional service, he becomes eligible to enter into my transcendental abode of Vaikuntha or Golok Vrindavan Dham, and thus he is able to participate in the transcendental pastimes of mine, having acquired the transcendental body of my associate. He becomes eligible to thus participate in my pastimes for the time, for the incessant time to come. So, Shri Krishna stresses and highlights the significance of devotional service at the end of the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So, we can understand that also in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it has also been described. Na sadhayati mam yogo jnanam dharmam cha uddhava na swadhyayas tapasyago yatha bhaktir mamorjita. Na sadhayati mam yogo. Shri Krishna tells to his dear friend and devotee Uddhav that, O Uddhav, through the path of the eightfold mystic process known as Ashtanga Yoga, through that eightfold mystic system of Ashtanga Yoga, a person can never factually come to understand me in truth. I am not obtainable. I am not to be acquired. I am not to be acquired and I am not to be attained through the path of Ashtanga Yoga. Na sadhayati mam yogo. Jnana, and I also not to be obtained through the path of mental speculation leading to the knowledge of monism or the monistic knowledge. Through the path of monistic knowledge, the path that the jnanis are very much fond of undertaking as a means of self-realization, that path of jnanamarga, that path of mental speculation leading to monistic knowledge, leading to the concept that the living entity is completely one with the Supreme Absolute Truth. That path of monism, that jnanamarga also cannot, also doesn't have the capacity and doesn't have the power to grant factual knowledge regarding my identity to its practitioner. So the jnanamarga, the path of monistic knowledge, doesn't have any power whatsoever to make its practitioner well acquainted with my factual nature and true identity. Na sadhyati mam yogo jnanam dharmam cha uddhava. And oh Uddhava, not only that, also the path of varnashrama dharma and also the path of sakam and nishkam karma. Dharma means all those different types of rituals, ritualistic activities, and all those different forms of charity, sacrifices, penances, vows, yajna, dana, vrata, tapasya, etc., which have been mentioned in different parts of Vedic literatures. All those activities which are generally known as smart karma, which are generally known as nitya and naimittika karma, eternal, so-called eternal and so-called occasional duties, nitya and naimittika karma, smart karma, which are all mentioned in different types of dharma shastras and different types of smritis, and also in the Vedas. All those different types of ritualistic activities, along with the performance of the varnashrama dharma, or the prescribed duties according to one's varna and ashram, all these different types of mundane activities or karma, whether they are performed unmotivatingly or whether they are performed motivatingly, either as sakam karma or as nishkam karma yoga, they have no power whatsoever, they have no capacity to make that practitioner well acquainted with my true nature and identity. So, dharmam cha uttava, na swadhyaya tapah tyago, and also the study of the Vedas and the study, the empiric study, which is full of erudition, the empiric study undertaken by an arrogant pedant who wants to know the absolute truth through the power of scriptural knowledge, that person who doesn't rely upon the mercy and compassion of the Lord in order to realize him, but who thinks that by his own power, by his own faculty of sharp mundane intellect, he can know the factual nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by such empiric pedant who is very much confident of his own power of mundane intellect and intelligence, if he undertakes the study of the Vedas, swadhyaya, then he can also not understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because it has been declared in Shvetashvata Upanishad that nāyam ātmā pravacanena labhyo name dayāna bahunā śrutena yave vaiṣavrenute tena labhyah tasya isha ātmā vivrenute tanum svām. That this Paramātmā, Paramātmā means that this Supreme Godhead Shri Krishna is not obtainable by giving elaborate discourses which are full of intellectual scholarship and which are devoid of the internal sentiment of devotion. Nayam atma pravachanena labhyo, by giving beaming pravachanas which are only imbued with mundane scholarship and the arrogance which is thus arising from mundane scholarship and which is completely devoid of all sorts of devotional moves to serve the Lord, by those discourses also the Lord is never attained. Because as Suti Maharani says in the 8th chapter of the first canto of Bhagavatam, Janamaishwarya Shruta Shrihir Edamana Madhakuman Naivar Hatya Vidatum Vaikvam Akinchana Gocharam. O Lord, you are the master of those who are akinchan. You are actually only obtainable by those who are materially possessing nothing. Or even if they are materially possessing so many things, they are not possessing the ego or the pride or the arrogance arising from those material possessions.
Akinchan,
those who are akinchan, means those who are devoid of all sorts of attachments and pride arising from the association with material opulences. Only by those akinchanas, only by those humble, submissive and meek devotees are you attained. Therefore, Kunti Maharani says that those who are very much proud of their high birth, and those who are very much proud of their mundane erudition or education, very exalted mundane education, those who are very much proud of being opulent in a mundane way, who are very much proud of their aristocracy and so-called temporal riches of the material world, and those who are very much proud of their physical beauty and stamina, vigor, strength, these people can never obtain you. Therefore, it has been declared, Naiva Atma Pravachanena Lakhyo. Only through those lectures which are completely permeated and permitted with the mood of mundane arrogance arising from the sharpness of the mundane intellect, the Lord is never obtained. Naramatma pravachanena labhyo na medhaya. And through the mundane intelligence, the Lord is never attained. Only when the mundane intelligence becomes unified with the transcendental internal potency of the Lord known as Anadini Shakti, when the Lord desires so through His gracious compassion. At that time, when the mundane intelligence becomes empowered by the transcendental internal potency of the Lord, as Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamam Upayantite, only then the mundane intelligence acquires the eligibility to understand and to comprehend the Supreme Absolute Truth in reality. Otherwise, by itself, without being empowered by the Lord, without depending on the Lord's mercy, without resting on the Lord's compassion, the mundane intelligence on its own has no power to reach that Absolute Truth. Therefore, the Vedas have again proclaimed that yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasasaha, that the mundane intelligence along with the mundane mind and mundane faculty of speech, they try forcibly, illegally and illegitimately in an illicit way to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but without reaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the mundane faculties of mind, intellect and speech, they again return back. That's why yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasasaha, that inconceivable object, Absolute Truth, Shri Krishna, can never be understood only through the mundane intelligence. Therefore it is said, na medhaya na bahuna shrutena, and also by hearing many different types of scholastic discourses which are not imbued with devotional mood, one cannot obtain the Lord. By hearing those discourses and by speaking those discourses which are completely devoid of the internal mood of service, one cannot obtain the Lord. Na bahuna shrutena yave vai shravanote tena rabbiha tasyaisha atma vivrinote tarun swam. Then by what method, then by which way is the Lord obtainable? Then that has also been clarified, that only when the Lord chooses or selects a particular suitable candidate, only then that particular suitable candidate actually comes to know about the factual glories of the Lord. And the Lord, the chooses person, Lord selects that his devotee to become factually self-realized only when that devotee is equipped, is endowed with the moods of submissiveness, humility and meek and gentle nature. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Trinadapi suni chena tarurapi sahishnana amanila manadena kintami hasala harihi, that one should not consider, one should consider oneself to be even inferior than an insignificant than a blade or straw of grass found on the street, and one should be more tolerant than a tree. One should be always giving respect to others, and one should never hanker after respect for one's own self. Therefore, equipped with these moods of submissiveness only, the Lord is obtainable. Therefore it is said, na swadhyayah, only through the empiric study the Lord can never be obtained. Na swadhyayah tapah, and by the performance of all the different types of austerities and penances aimed at giving pain to the senses, body and mind, also the Lord is not obtainable. Tapah tyago, and just through the dry renunciation which is devoid of hope, the concept of serving the Lord, just through the dry renunciation, शुष्क वैराग्य फलंग वैराग्य द लॉर्ड इज नॉट ऑब्टेनेबल न तपह त्यागो यथा भक्तिर ममोर्जिता कृष्ण हिमसेल्फ सेज दैट आई एम ओनली ऑब्टेनेबल थ्रू द पाथ ऑफ डिवोशनल सर्विस देयरफॉर कृष्ण अगेन हाइलाइट्स एंड एम्फसाइजेस द सेम पॉइंट एट द एंड of the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, again speaking to Uddhav by saying, Bhaktyaham ekayagrahyah, O Uddhav, I am only obtainable through the path of devotional service. Ekaya means only through one path, not through other paths like Nishkam Karma, Sakam Karma, Jnana, Ashtang Yoga, etc., Sankhya, dry renunciation. No. Not through all these paths, but only through one path. Ekaya Bhaktya Aham Grahyah. Only through one path of devotional service am I obtainable. So therefore, Krishna highlights the same point at the end of the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. While summarizing and by winding up his discussions, he says that sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma shuchah. Abandon and reject and completely forsake and relinquish all the other different paths of karma, jnana, yoga, etc. and just surrender unto me, and do not become bewildered or ponder over the issue whether if you will reject all those paths and just surrender to me you will become inflicted by any type of sin, because I will personally relieve you of all types of sins that will be that can be inflicted upon you by not performing those other parts of karma, jnana, and yoga. Therefore Krishna says, Manamara Bhagavan Madhato Matyaji Mam Namaskuru Mami Vaishnasi Satyam Te Pratyane Priyosime. Only constantly contemplate on my transcendental name, form, pastimes, entourage, and attributes, etc., and always perform devotional service unto me, and therefore become my bhakta or follow my orders. Madhyaji, always worship the personal deity form of mine, which is completely non-different from me. Mam Namaskuru, and always pay your due respects and obeisances unto my transcendental form. And by so performing, by starting the devotional service in such way, you will, without any scope of suspicion or doubt, you will obtain me for certain. This is my promise unto you. Therefore, the devotional service is manifest in five different forms. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declares at the in Chaitanya Charitamrita, while giving his instructions to Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that devotional service becomes manifest. It is displayed in five types of relationships: Shantadasya Sakhya Vatsalya Madhura Rasa Nama Krishna Bhakti Rasa Mathye Etam Chapradhana. That Shant Rasa. Shant Rasa means the transcendental mellow or relationship of passive state of devotion. Dasya Rasa means the transcendental mellow or relationship of the active or the state of devotional service, which is found on the level of servitude. Sakhya Rasa means the transcendental service of the Lord on the level of fraternity, fraternal affection. And Vatsalya Rasa is defined as the transcendental service of the Lord on the platform of parental affection, both of maternal and paternal type. And Madhura Rasa means the transcendental loving relationship unto the Lord through the mellow of conjugal love. So all these five types of transcendental mellows or Aprakrit Krishna Bhakti Rasas, these transcendental mellows of devotional service are the only five types of relationships that the living entities can have, that the living entities can maintain or share with their other counterpart, who is Shri Krishna, the supreme enjoyer, and living entity being the servitor, being the served by that supreme living entity, being the servitor and enjoyed by that supreme enjoyer and servant principle, Shri Krishna. As Krishna declares, Bhaktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Subhritam Sarva Bhutanam Yatva Mam Shanti Prichati, that I am the supreme enjoyer, Bhaktaram Yajna Tapasam, and all the other living entities, they are to be enjoyed by me, because that is their constitutional position. And my constitutional position, my inherent innate identity, is that I am the enjoyer. Therefore, the very core fundamental principle of the path of devotional service is Sevya Sevaka Bhav. Sevya Sevaka Bhav means the mood that I am, or all the living entities, including me, are the servants, are the unconditional servitors of the Lord. Not conditional servitors, but unconditional servitors of the Lord. And the Lord is my unconditional master, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirms in the 8th verse of his Shikshashtakam prayers. Ashishyama bhagavatam pinashtumam adarshanam maramahatam karodva yatha tathava vidadhatulam pato matrananathastu sakevanaparaha. O Lord, even if you become manifest in front of my eyes and grant me your transcendental darshan and give me the opportunity of beholding your transcendental form, and even if you don't grant me that opportunity by not manifesting yourself in front of me, and even if you become manifest in front of me and trample me underneath your feet and completely crush me, or in the fourth circumstance, even if you become manifest in front of me, grant darshan and reciprocate in a loving way to another devotee, but even if you do not look upon me for once while reciprocating with another devotee in front of me, in all the four conditions, I will be your unconditional servitor. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Any questions or comments? Okay, so let us wind up our discussion. You have any question? Okay. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Bhagavan ki Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki Vitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol Hari Hari Bol Hari Hari Bol Hari Krishna.
So we'd like to thank Radha Krishna Prabhu. Radha Krishna Prabhu ki. And prasadam is now being served. And prasadam books, everyone is welcome to take. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.